next Sunday, so from the life of Daniel. But it's 13 hours ahead in the Philippines where we visit, so my phone has been getting all these Happy New Year messages because it is New Year's Eve in about 3 minutes. But the last one I got was the exact scripture that Carrie just read, Isaiah 43 from the DuPal family. And it just quoted Isaiah 43, 18 to 21. It said, expect new things and great things in the year ahead. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Dan is going to come. He's got his tie on. He celebrated Christmas in Christmas camo yesterday, so I wasn't sure how he was going to show up today. I was a little bit, boy, will he be in camo for the message? But he's Amy dressed him this morning, so we're going to be thankful. Amen. I almost gave him my phone.
I got this tie from a dear friend, and this is like the first time I really either had the opportunity or committed to wearing it, so I'm not certain that Amy would own up to dressing me this morning, but here I am nonetheless. She did provide some constructive criticism to the original version of this outfit. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here. Hope you are too. When Pastor asked me to share on this particular day, I began to think, about what it is that I felt like God's been speaking to me. And there was several verses and phrases that God had been speaking to me, but, since it is New Year's Eve, I began to think about, what do you typically think about on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, New Year's, the time of usually personal reflection, assessment of what's the past year, what just happened, and then planning for the year ahead. What are we going to do? And so we ask ourselves, what happened last year? We look back at the past year, and we think, where did the time go? And yet, maybe it's one of those situations, sometimes Amy and I sit down and talk about our marriage or our children, and can you believe, we've been married for that long, can you believe that our child, that we have a child that's going on 12 years old, can you believe, and there's always a part of me that thinks, well, it went by that fast, but there's also this part of me that's like, I almost can't remember what it's like to not be married, and I almost can't remember what it's like not to have a child. And so you have two things happening both at the same time, both where did the time go, and it just feels like it's always been this way. So we ask ourselves, what happened last year? Where did the time go? You might look back and say, I have so much to be thankful for, but man, this past year, there were certain things that were so tough and so heartbreaking. Maybe you were stretched in different ways. Maybe it was good things, but it was just constant busyness. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe you have tragedy in your life and heartbreak. And so you look forward to the year ahead, to 2018. And you ask yourself, what am I supposed to do this year? What am I going to do? What do I plan to do? And so we make plans. We make resolutions. We plan for trips and vacations and schedules and what's going to happen, and we look ahead. But also as we do that and as we move ahead into this month and we set time aside for prayer and fasting, it's really more of that assessment, but bringing God into that equation and saying, God, what are you calling me to do? What are you calling me to do this year? I want to do what you've called me to do and not just let time slip by. Sometimes you look back and think, wow, what happened? I had so many plans of things that I planned to do this past year and then it didn't happen because it just, I don't know, I got busy and morning and evening came and then went and then weeks went by. So God, what can I do today? And really that's what, I said the title of my message is Every Day. And when it comes down to it, in order for us to look back at 2018 and know that we walked in faith, to know that we walked with God throughout the year, we have to understand what our calling is today and each day along the way. We have a plan for this year, and we look at it in a one-year time frame, and we miss that plan. Well, the time to hit it is going to take us another year or another 365 days. But if we look each day at what God is calling us to do, and if we miss that plan, we've only lost one day. We can get back up again the next day, and we can continue on. And we can make consistent progress in our walk with God and in our faith with God. And so I began to look at some scriptures along those lines of, you know, what are we called to do? What are we called to do today? And so, first scripture I'd like to look at is in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. What am I called to do? There's a lot of good things in these verses here. If you're asking God, what am I called to do today? Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, or the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is what we're called to do. And how that looks for each one of us really depends on how God made us, and who He puts us in contact with day by day, and the opportunities that we have. But the part that really stuck out to me about this passage is in verse 15, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts, be thankful. What are we called to? We're called to the peace of Christ. That phrase, to which you were also called in one body. You could say, to which you were also named. We are named in Christ. Are we dwelling in that? Are we living in that? Are we living in that peace every single day? And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, together, not just you by yourself, winging it on your own, you're called together to peace. Control your hearts. Let peace control your hearts and be thankful. Another verse that talks about our calling is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But you, man of God, run from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life that you were called to and have made a good confession about in the presence of many witnesses. What am I called to? We're called to take hold of eternal life. And what really stuck out to me is if I get up every day and I say, what am I called? What am I supposed to do today? Well, the first thing that usually pops in my mind is, well, you got to get up, you got to get ready, and you got to go to work. And why do I go to work? I go to work because I need money. Why do we need money? Well, we need money for food and clothing and shelter, but, you know, quite honestly, I don't work for just enough money to give me food and clothing and shelter. It goes beyond that. And so a lot of what I do on a daily basis and a lot of my focus on a daily basis isn't on what's eternal, but it's on what's temporary. What am I called to do? I'm called to, according to 1 Timothy, I'm called to fight the good fight for faith. I'm called to walk in faith every single day. And I'm called to take hold of eternal life. To take hold of something that isn't temporary, that isn't fleeting, that isn't decaying and losing value. That's what we're called to do on a daily basis. To fight for faith and eternal life. And it's not just a yearly thing. It's not, well, my goal is to do one good deed this year. My goal is to do this one big thing. And my whole year is hinging on this one big thing. And my planning and scheduling and everything just somehow doesn't come together and I don't pull this off, then I'm going to look back and feel like the years of failure. God hasn't called us to put that burden on ourselves. God hasn't called us to look ahead and put tomorrow's worries and anxieties into today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are we called to do? We're called to enjoy the opportunities that each day brings and not reach out into the future and drag maybes into today and worry about them. And to not reach back into the past and drag pain along with us. It's daily. It's every day. Don't take on tomorrow's cares today. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. God, give us what we need for today. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness and God provided for them, he provided manna. And the way that manna worked is if they gathered too much, there was just enough. Every day that they gathered manna, there was just enough for that day. They had to gather it one day at a time, except on Saturdays they could gather twice as much so they didn't have to gather on Sundays. And every single day, there was just enough. It was daily bread. It was manna. It's the way that God provides for us. He gives us just what we need for today. Give us this day our daily bread. When Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And yes, it is important for us to eat food in order to survive. But Jesus said, not just bread, but more importantly is the words that come from God's mouth. So are we daily hearing from God? You know, there's a big difference when you go to travel somewhere in having a map or already having the way memorized. There's a difference between that and have a GPS that tells you, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here. That's, you know what I mean, recalculate. There's also a difference between when you hop in the car and somebody says, hey, just follow me. Right? And for me, I like the map. I like to know in advance how many minutes it's going to take to get there. What are the possible ways that I can go? Is there any construction? I want to know absolutely every single thing before I pull out of the driveway. I want to. It's important to me. But in our walk with God, it's following. We're called to follow Christ. We're not called to bang on God's door and say, okay, lay it all out for me. I want the beginning of the day, all the way through to the end of the day, I want to know everything that's going to happen. Life doesn't work like that. No matter how much we want it to, it doesn't work like that. And what works out is that we have an opportunity to follow Christ. We have an opportunity to follow God. Are we doing that? Or do we have this idea in our mind that we can somehow work something out in advance? And we strive and we struggle and we bring problems from the future that might possibly occur and we turn them into stress and worry and we drag them into our right now. What are we called to do? We're called to walk in faith. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul the Apostle was on the Damascus Road, Jesus appeared to him as a bright and shining light. He fell off his horse to the ground, was blinded by the light, and starting in verse 5, Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. "But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Every day we have an opportunity to walk by faith. We have an opportunity to get up and go, and then be told what we must do. When God told Abraham to leave his father's house, he said, "Get up and go to a place that I will show you." It's kind of like saying, "Get in the car and start driving, and along the way, I'll tell you where we're actually going." And that's what our lives are like. Each and every single day, that's what our lives are like. And we can make it something else. We can establish goals for ourselves and destinations for ourselves and then wonder why things didn't work out the way that we planned. Or we can accept the fact and acknowledge the fact that in a lot of ways we aren't in control, that God is in control. And we can follow Him and enjoy a faith walk and relationship with Him, or we can struggle. Paul had plans. He was going from city to city. He was going to persecute and kill this many Christians, and then he was going to move on to another city. And he was in the middle of his plans when he got knocked off his horse and lost his sight. And later on in Acts, they use the phrase, "Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks or against the ox goad." Paul had a plan, and he was going to execute his plan no matter what. And really what it amounted to is him just taking his foot and kicking it up against something painful. And sometimes our lives feel like that, and we wonder why. And God's calling us to walk by faith. Start going, and you'll be told. Start driving. Just like Abraham. Leave. Get up this morning. Head out the door, and God's going to let us know what He's calling us to. God's going to let us know what opportunities that we have to show compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. We might not be able to plan that out in advance of the day, but if we walk in faith with God, He'll take us there, and He'll open our eyes to see those opportunities along the way. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 12 to 15. It says, "Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart that departs from the living God, but encourage each other while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deceptions. For we have become companions of the Messiah if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, 'Today, if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion.'" Encourage each other daily. And if that wasn't enough, if encourage each other daily wasn't a compliment explanation, it goes on, while it is still called today. As we look ahead to a new year, what is our job? Our job is daily. It's every day. Our job is today. God, what are you calling us to do today? When I read that section of Scripture, "Watch out, brothers, so there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God." And it talks about sin's deception. When I think about that word evil, and I think about sin, when I think about evil, it's kind of, you think about those situations where you hear about something awful that's happened, and you think about that person or that action was pure evil. We think about insidious. But the word evil can simply mean full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors. And one concordance that I looked it up in said, "It's a word expressive of unintermitted toil and carrying no suggestion of results." is our heart full of labors and hardships and annoyances and toil with no results? Sometimes, you know, well, I don't have an evil heart. Well, do you feel like your heart is full of toil and labor and why, wondering why you're not seeing results? God addresses that for us. He acknowledges that. So watch out, so there won't be in any of you a heart that's just full of fruitless labor, full of toil, full of hardship, that departs from the living God. But encourage each other. How do we stop this from happening? We have to encourage each other. Sometimes it takes somebody around you to point something out. Sometimes if I'm really focusing on something or doing something, I have this tendency to hold my breath while I'm doing it. And my wife will sometimes be like, hey, quit holding your breath. Quit holding, you got to breathe. Sometimes it takes somebody around us to say, hey, you got to breathe. Encourage each other. Then that, when it talks about so that none, encourage each other daily, while it's still called today, right now, if you have an opportunity to encourage someone, do it now. Don't wait. Do it now, while it's still called today, daily, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. Sin's deception. Sin simply means falling short of the mark. So God's called us to walk in faith. God's called us to live in the peace of Christ, and yet we fall short because we start to carry all these burdens and we start to put them on our back day by day. And we start to carry burdens from yesterday into today, and we start to look ahead to the future and start to carry burdens that we weren't meant to carry yet. And how do we avoid that? Well, by letting the peace of Christ control our hearts and by encouraging each other every day so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. And sin's, part of sin's deception is that you're the only one that this has happened to, and you're the only one that's getting it wrong. And so we encourage each other, and we're real with each other. And we help each other understand, like, I've blown it all day long, but I'm here to encourage you. Not because I'm perfect, but because I've fallen short all day long. I felt that tendency to pick up things that I wasn't meant to carry. Are we encouraging each other? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, there's another aspect of daily. Then he, talking about Jesus, said to them all, if anyone wants to come with me or to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will save it. What is a man benefited if he gains the whole world, but yet loses or forfeits himself? If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself. Deny our plans, our ambitions, our pleasures. The word to deny, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. We take up our cross and we follow Christ. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will save it. And in the context of making plans and walking by faith day by day, if you think about vacation time, when we do something with our kids or when we go somewhere with our kids, there's this constant, like, how long until we get there? And then as soon as you do it, what's next? And then when, how far? I'm bored. And you can go on vacation and just line up minute by minute all these different things. And as a child, it's just a constant, what's next, what's next, when, how far, when are we going to get there, what. And as adults, this is what vacation looks like. This is what rest looks like to an adult. I have no plans. Whatever happens, happens. We accidentally found this awesome place because we just started driving in a certain direction. And so as adults, we understand that is rest, and that's what peace feels like. And yet, when we step outside of that in our day-to-day lives, sometimes we're more, in our relationship with God and what's going on, sometimes we're more running around like the kids that are saying, when God? How long God? What's next God? Why is this taking so long God? Why is this so hard God? I'm bored God. We need to learn to rest. As we look to the year ahead, we need to learn to rest. To rest from our own defense, from our own labor, from our own efforts to control all of life's variables. If I just think about this, if I was more prepared, if I had thought about it, if I had spent more time worrying about that, I would have been more prepared. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1 through 11 talks about the rest that God's ordained for us. The rest that He wants us to participate in on a daily basis. Therefore, while the promise to enter His rest remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. It takes faith to believe that God has called us to rest and not struggle and labor and toil and work it all out ourselves. When Adam sinned and was kicked out of the garden, part of the curse was toil and fruitless labor. And when Christ came, He broke the curse. Broke the curse of toil and fruitless labor. Do we have faith to believe that? But the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter the rest, in keeping with what He has said. So I swore in my anger they would not enter my rest. Yet His works have been finished since the foundation of the world. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God's work has been finished since the foundation of the world? God planned it. God set it into motion. And He's done the work for us. Since the foundation of the world, He's provided all that we need of for every single day of our lives. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in this way, and on the seventh day God rested from all His works. Again in that passage He says, they'll never enter my rest, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. God said rest. God said, you don't have to, I'll do it for you, and yet we're out there digging in the ground, trying to make something happen for ourselves. Again, He specifies a certain day, today, speaking through David after such a long time, as previously stated, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Previous verses in Hebrews talk about our hearts being hardened by sin's deception. When we fall short, we can rely on God, or we can become hardened by sin's deception that says, you have to work harder. You have to work it out. You have to do it. You have to struggle. You have to labor. You have to toil. You have to get yourself out of this mess. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't fall prey to that deception. I love that passage, that section where He said, He specifies a certain day. There's a certain day that God has for you to do His work. And guess what that day is? It's today. Every day when we wake up, there's a certain day that God has for you to spring into action. And that day is today. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken about later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, has rested from sin's deception, has rested from the lie that says, if you just worry harder, work harder, struggle more, that you'll be able to work it all out. You'll be able to pay for your own mistakes. You'll be able to improve the situation. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter into that rest. The greatest work that we have to do is to rest. Is to rest in God and trust in God and trust that God's got it. To trust that God's work that he accomplished was more than enough. And for us to daily walk in faith. For us to daily put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Accepting one another and forgiving one another. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. Maybe you look back at 2017 at any point and you say to yourself, I need rest. I know I need rest. I need peace from the turmoil that I've faced. Over the last couple weeks, I've tried to push through some situations at work. On multiple occasions, I've said to people, I feel like I just need to let my guard down, but I can't. Because these things that I thought were accomplished keep coming back up. I thought we had crossed the finish line on this, and yet, well, guess what? It's not finished. The work isn't finished. And so I labor and toil to get things finished, and then go home and then carry these burdens with me, and then at night when I'm trying to sleep, I'm either not able to sleep because my mind's racing and I'm thinking about these things, or I'm dreaming about labor and toil and work all night long, waking up in the middle of the night and it's the first thing I think about, it's the last thing I think about when I go to bed, and the first thing I think about when I wake up. Maybe you need rest and you feel like you can't let your guard down. Because in our way of thinking, sin's deception, something is bound to go wrong. Someone else is going to hurt me. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm not getting ahead, so I just better work harder. Strive more. Push. Struggle. I feel like there's some toil, some worry, some mental preparation I could do to minimize how bad it is when things inevitably, unexpectedly, go wrong again. We can live in a state of emergency and end up completely spent mentally. We can end up broken emotionally and physically. Or we can walk every day with God and trust him in faith. And trust him. We can learn to trust God. As I sat down to begin to type some notes out yesterday morning, I did a quick search for some music to listen to while I was working on it. And I came across a song that I'd like to share with you in just a second here. And it was absolutely shocking to me because, as I mentioned to you over the past couple weeks, I've said to a number of different people, I feel like I just need to let my guard down. And part of the chorus of the song says, if you could only let your guard down and learn to trust me somehow, I swear that I won't let you go. So we're going to go ahead and play the song, and then we'll come back and close the message.
When it feels like surgery, and it burns like third degree, and you wonder, what is it worth? When your inside's breaking in, and you feel that ache again, and you wonder, what's giving birth? If you cut the pain with a Pascal, if you could only love, you could hold down. If you could only trust me somehow, well, I swear that I won't let you go. If you could only look at that, if you could just believe the pain now, I swear that I won't let you go. You go. When your fear is currency, and you feel that urgency, you want peace, but there's war in your head. Maybe that's where life is born, when every side's a torn thing is birth to the if you could let the pain of the past go, will you know this is in your control? If you could only let your guard down, if you could only trust me somehow, I swear that I won't let you go. If you could only let your guard down,
message for me this year that God's trying to get through. As I look back and there's worries that I need to let go of from 2017, if there's worries about 2018, Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We have, God is calling us to an everyday walk with Him. So my encouragement for you on New Year's Eve is to every day let the peace of Christ control your heart. It's every day be thankful. Every day pursue eternal life, eternal things. Every day, enjoy the opportunities that today brings. Every day, step out in faith. Every day, encourage one another. Every day, make room for rest. Labor to enter into rest. Let your guard down. Every day, follow Christ in faith. And trust him with the outcome. Amen?
Amen?
If you want to stand with me, I'll close in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you that your grace is enough. I thank you that when we feel weary and heavy laden, we can come to you and you give rest. Give rest to the saint and to the sinner.
Thank you.
You give rest. I pray, God, that as we look back at last year and look forward to another year ahead, that we'll learn to trust you every day. That we'll learn to walk by faith every day. That we'll learn to do what you've called us to do. To be compassionate and kind and forgive. Every day, to encourage each other. Every day. Thank you for your grace and your strength. That's more than enough. Thank you that you washed our past and our pain away. And you've strengthened us for a new day. We give you praise. We thank you for every minute, every breath, every life, every relationship that we have. We thank you for, Father. We pray that you'll be honored in our lives every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, make sure you wish someone a happy new year. Lord bless everyone. If anybody would like prayer, we are here. We're not in a hurry. If you need some prayer to kick off the new year, just come on up. Carrie and Claudia are here. Mrs. D and I, Dan and Amy. So Lord bless everyone. Happy New Year.